Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
There is a part of me that is like a tweaker mind where I could see just like taking apart a vacuum cleaner just to put it back together. You know, there's like about like the mechanics of like getting into something and not never being able to finish it.
Right. I have so many questions. I'm just interviewing Margaret Cho's dog, Lucia. She's one. I thought she was, not that she looks old.
No.
She looks like a spring chicken in puppy form.
Yes.
But she has such wise eyes.
She does.
So I came over to your house, and I think this is the first of my podcasts where I came to somebody else's house. It's always on the table, but no one ever wants me to. We usually are in my bedroom, which you are more than welcome to come to my bedroom.
Yeah. Like,
who wants to leave their house?
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice that you come over. This is great.
Yeah. And you have a beautiful house.
Thank you.
The gold lions in front.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And don't you hate leaving the house?
I do.
I hate it.
I hate leaving. Although, I mean, I do need to, because it's like, if I stay here for too long, then I start to act like I can't leave.
Yeah, totally.
And then I eat weird food that's like been there for like way too long, and I just act weird. I do try to leave at least once a day.
Where do you go?
I will go either down to eat something, right, or I'll go to the park. Which is mostly where I go.
With Lucia.
Or I'll go, I dare say I went to Sunset Junction yesterday because I thought, I'm going to have coffee and then I'm going to go shopping. And of course, I didn't like anything. But
what's there at Sunset Junction?
Well, I thought that the cheese store was there, but I didn't realize it was closed.
Yeah,
it's
been gone for a long time. Anymore.
It's gone for a very long time. Now there's a lot of like coffee places, which are nice, but I didn't, it was too late in the day for coffee. So I had a salad.
That's
but I,
nice.
I wanted they used to have like this like salami and cornichon sandwich at the cheese store that I used to love. And I would go there and then I would go to Rough Trade across the street and just smell the leather clothes of the gay men's leather clothes.
Yes.
Which I love. Yeah. And then that would be my day. But then it was like, it's all different. So I'm like, I don't know. I went to Warby Parker and I thought, maybe I'll get some glasses. And I was like, no.
If you ever want glasses from Warby.
Mm-hmm.
While they don't sponsor this podcast yet, my best friend works there.
Oh, okay.
And I get
a good discount.
Yeah.
From the gay glasses.
No, I get a great discount. That's I don't know if I'm like blowing up your spot, Chrissy, but like she is the best.
I'm great.
I just got these sunglasses. They're pink. I'm going to describe them.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah, they're like 70s, like Jewish mom.
Yeah, I think they're beautiful.
Pink,
yeah. I like the tone, the color.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're important to have sunglasses because it's very bright.
I know.
And
we
need
them. Where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Do you love California?
I do.
Do you love LA?
I do love LA. I do love LA, and I love the idea of LA also. Like, I love... the idea of like Laurel Canyon and wearing like a denim shirt.
That is so, I love that idea too, but like, that's so not what you're, where are you doing that? You're, that's not really where
no,
you're
No, that's
at.
Not what I'm, where I'm at, but I think of myself as like, I wear a denim shirt and like play like the auto harp. And like, I, you know, I have really tan fingers, yeah, and I will eat a lot of things from the Laurel Canyon store with like sprouts. Also, I don't like alfalfa sprouts.
Oh.
But I don't think that it really has anything to do with reality. It's my vision of who I am is a lady of the canyon.
Oh, yeah. I think that that's like Frances McDormand in a movie called
Laurel Canyon. Yeah.
Which I don't know if I've seen it.
It's good. Well, she's like a lesbian and she's very attractive in the movie. And she has an affair with a younger woman. I want to say it's Kate Beckinsale, but it's not. It's somebody like it's she's like kind of has an affair and they live in Laurel Canyon. But it's a. But that's not really what Laurel Canyon is about. Laurel Canyon is actually very heterosexual.
Oh. Is she wearing a denim shirt in it?
Probably. But I think Frances McDormand is always wearing a denim shirt in my mind.
Definitely.
I can't wear a denim shirt because I have a wide back. So there's no way I could wear a denim shirt because my back is so wide that it's not going to button in the front.
I don't. I'm like looking at you right now. I would never imagine you having, one, a wide back, even what that even looks like. I can't picture you in a denim shirt because it's not really your style.
No, I would never wear one. I think I have one and it won't fit my back. You know what it's like, a denim shirt is not for women anyway. It should be for a man who is like very has only bones and sinew and like muscle.
Yeah.
You know, where they have no body fat at all.
Totally. Like a lanky,
very long man.
Yeah.
Named like Greg.
Oh.
Who's like a landscaper.
Greg.
Mm-hmm. With like two G's.
Yeah. There's definitely two G's. Yeah. With two G's, I can see that.
And maybe
sure.
An I, like a Grieg.
Yeah, Grieg, my landscaper.
Yeah, somebody like very reedy. And I had a friend named Greg who one time was a landscaper. He gave me a bush for a birthday present.
What kind?
It was like a, I want to say it was like a mulberry? Juniper bush. It had like some kind of berries or something on it. And it was a full bush.
That's so odd. The first thing, I'm like, what? I was going to say, what kind? Burning? No.
Yeah, no.
Then like, what kind? Mulberry?
Like some sort, but there was berries on it, but he actually did plant it and everything. Like he brought it inside
just
to show me, and then he did plant it.
So just for the yard, just a single bush.
Yeah, that was like a whole plant. I mean,
it
was a nice gift, but it was kind of like, it was like this thing is like, why are you showing up at my house with a fucking bush?
Yeah, that's so,
but
like, don't get it in the house. And but also it's nice that he did the work.
Yeah. That was the whole,
I guess the
gift of it was that he was going to like put it in, you know, and then we had it, which is not, it's probably out
that's
there
nice.
Still.
Here's a really good gift I want, Scott. And we're going to talk about hobbies in a second, but I just, sometimes it's hard for me to think of good gifts. And Paul and I used to share an assistant when we worked on Love, and Nico gave us for Christmas this beautiful firewood, giant bag of beautiful firewood delivered to our house.
Ooh.
Some was scented like apple,
oh, beautiful,
wood, chicory, whatever.
Yeah.
And we were just stocked with firewood.
That's
which
incredible.
Is such a nice gift.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever feel like buying wood.
No, it's just something that you would never think to buy.
Well, we have a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll get a Duraflame. And then, but we still need wood. And then I'm like, there's like four logs. And like, I might get a splinter and they're heavy. Like,
yeah.
I'll do it later. And I just.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that there's wood delivery services, but that just seems very. Then I feel like I'm not Madonna, the richest person. the most famous rich person in my brain that I immediately go to see. Madonna's on my shirt.
I love Madonna, yes.
So, yeah, like Madonna would get wood delivered. Like, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. Like, Margaret Cho could get wood delivered. But, like, Leslie and Paul, I think we need a couple more hits.
It's a, well, a I mean, it's like also like to have a fire. I mean, I have a fireplace. I have one Duraflame log. It's been in there since I moved in 1999. I have never used the fireplace. I've never thought to.
Really?
I just never, I don't know. I just never think to like, oh, I'm going to make a fire, which I could, but I just haven't done. But I think if I had nice wood as a gift, somebody brought me some wood, that would be really, really, I think I would be excited about
it. It's so nice. And then maybe if somebody else did the fire starting.
Yeah.
Because like Paul doesn't do that. Like I started, I know mm-hmm. how to put it out or
yeah.
we can't go to sleep. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a whole, it's one of my hobbies.
That's nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So without even asking you what your hobby is, like I can throw some ideas out, but
okay.
I think you have one that you're coming to me with.
Yes, I do.
And I want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, my hobby is a little bit of difficult for me because I got so obsessed with my hobby that I actually had to stop and get rid of everything.
No.
Because I wouldn't do anything else. And my hobby is sewing and making things of like with my sewing machine and fabric and, you know, fabric arts, the fabric arts.
I love
textiles.
The fabric arts. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
So part of the reason why I started doing this podcast is because I can't stop doing my hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to figure out a way to incorporate some kind of work
mm-hmm.
around hobbies.
Yeah.
Because I am also so obsessed, but I can't believe that you had the strength to throw it away.
I had to throw it away because it was really getting in the way of my life. And I am thinking about restarting it, but with some boundaries in place around it mm-hmm. before I start. But, you know, like I don't have a machine right now. I don't have a sewing machine. I don't have a serger. I don't have any fabric. I don't have all of the things that I, you know,
gear.
Like all of my weights, all of my scissors, I have all the special like thread, like everything that I have, I've gotten rid of.
The notions. I love notions.
Yeah, I love notions.
I love going to a thrift store, a little bag of buttons
with a spool and a great
scissor. So
yeah.
I want to know about stuff you made, but were you just isolating all the time, not leaving, just sewing?
Yeah, and I wasn't sleeping. I was like getting up super early and then I would start on something and I would look up and it would be 12 hours later and I'm like, what did I do?
Right.
And I would just go crazy. Like, and then I couldn't stop doing it. And then I wouldn't want to leave my house because I would be working on something. And then I wouldn't want to leave town because I'd be working on something. And it just became so involving that I'm like, this is like tweaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even drugs. It's just, but there's a tweaker element to sewing that it can, because it's so detailed and you have to finish everything that mm-hmm. you can just go crazy.
Do you smoke cigarettes or did you?
I did, yeah.
And so would you smoke cigarettes and sew?
Yeah, I would smoke cigarettes and sew. I would smoke pot and sew. I would drink and sew, which is kind of not a good idea. I think pot is probably better for that.
Right.
And cigarettes is probably okay for that. But then it would make the stuff that I made smell.
Mm.
So then I stopped because I just didn't want it to smell like anything.
And would you listen to music or like books or?
Music, mostly.
Music, all
mostly music, but I wouldn't even hear it because
right.
I'd be so involved.
God, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I know, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I love like loving something so much and just doing it. I love that kind of obsession.
It
because mm-hmm. getting the fix feels really good.
Yeah, it does.
So how did you figure out how to give it up?
Well, I realized that I was making a mess too, because when you sew a lot, you make a lot of dust.
Right.
And so I couldn't get on top of the mess and the dust and how much it was affecting my allergies.
Wow.
And so I realized like if I have to sew this much, then I have to clean this much, but I wasn't going to clean.
Right.
So then it was basically easier to just go, you know what, I can't do this and I have to stop doing this entirely and like really kind of like refocus and do something else for a while, and maybe if I love this I'll come back to it, but mm-hmm. I haven't come back to it for a while. But now I feel like I have a little bit of my excessive tendencies in check. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would do that again.
Right.
But, you know, it's like kind of like sewing for me is kind of like it. It is a relaxing activity and also it's an energizing one. Mm-hmm. So if I start, I kind of can't stop.
I totally get that. Yeah. There's something about really close, detailed work that is both relaxing and energizing. So mm-hmm. like I have a sewing machine, and it's a great sewing machine. I don't know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
What I go back and forth with is needlepoint. And embroidery and painting.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm on painting and like my paintbrush is like, you know, I use, it's like an eyelash. Like it's a very, yeah, very
yeah.
thin.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I do like this really, I can't stop mm-hmm. painting. I can't stop painting leaves.
That's great.
It is, but like, so when my kid goes to bed, my husband goes and watches something, and then my kid goes to bed at 7.
Mm-hmm.
I paint from like 7 to midnight,
mm-hmm.
vape,
mm-hmm.
and listen to a true crime podcast or a book.
Oh, that's good.
It's really fun, mm-hmm. but like it definitely makes me isolate. There's mm-hmm. there have been times where I don't know, like I don't go to parties. I don't, yeah. I mean, who even like goes to parties? But like, things, spending time just with my husband,
mm-hmm.
which is like something that I want to do, but like I can't. And I'll even get to the point where like my back hurts.
Oh, I'm over. Oh, yeah, totally. That's very real.
Yeah.
That's very real.
And I'm in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like a massage rolly thing,
mm-hmm.
but I just can't stop. And like I'll even be really, really tired and like I should mm-hmm. go to bed because my kid's going to be up at 6:30.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's like midnight,
mm-hmm.
sometimes later.
Yeah.
But I love it. And then with needlepoint, it's the same. The thing I found with needlepoint, and maybe you find this with sewing, but maybe not so much. Needlepoint is great, but it's very repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really want to learn how to sew because I feel like I would be able to do anything. I'd have a new business.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did you make clothes? Did you make curtains?
I made clothing. I made costumes for dancers, which was really gratifying. And I made a lot of very sort of like Art Nouveau kinds of like, it was like a cross between costumes, but it was like jewelry. It was like Art Nouveau, like jeweled costumes that were very elaborate and very beautiful.
They're art pieces.
Yeah, art pieces, but it was like, I also would get really bad eye pain and back pain and my migraines like would just like flare up because I was just focusing so hard on a point that it would just hurt my eyes. And I couldn't, it was like my whole back was just a aching all the time and I had to just stop it because it was just like, what am I doing? It is so involving and it's just so beautiful, and also it gets very expensive too when you're doing this kind of stuff. And I wasn't like making them for sale, or I would give them to people mm-hmm. and it was a nice thing to do, but it was also like, what am I, why, you know? And it would, if I was dancing, then it would be okay. It started because I was making costumes for dancing as I was dancing, and then I was like using them for that. And then it would have been healthy because then I could work off some of the tension in my neck from mm-hmm. making the costumes. But then I wasn't dancing anymore. Then I was just like, I'm making the costumes and I was crazy.
Wait, what kind of dance?
I was doing some burlesque dancing, but the costumes mostly were for like belly dancing. So I was dancing at like Moon of Tunis. I was dancing at, there was like a place called Burger Continental in like uh-huh. Pasadena. There was like all these sorts of like Middle Eastern restaurants that I was dancing at. There was, like Dar Maghreb I danced at.
No
and
way.
Some of these places. This was in the early 2000s, late 90s,
so
early
2000s. What got you into that?
I was dancing with, I was taking classes, and then I went to Egypt to dance with some very big, like, folkloric teachers there.
Wait, you were taking belly dancing?
Yeah, belly dancing, yeah.
Did you see that woman who was a belly dancer move coins.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is she a famous one?
Well, that's a kind of a trick. That's a kind of a common, you'll see that a lot. That's really, but it's a fun one. Yeah, that's a really fun thing. Yeah. But I was dancing in a lot of different things. No, I can't do that. That's sort of a very, you know, you need to really work. I didn't work on my stomach muscles as much.
You just started taking classes like on a whim?
Mm-hmm. And then it was really like, it was good for me because I was being very, very active. But then when I got into sewing and making the clothes, then it was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to make these clothes.
So how long were you dancing before you started making clothes for it?
I think I was dancing for a couple of years.
And you never got obsessed with dancing to that point?
Not to the point of...
Because it's harder.
It's harder, and also it would require me to like leave the house, and it was like mm-hmm. more of like a social... I mean, I got into it, you know, and I really did enjoy like going to Egypt was really great and fun, and going to... all these like dance workshops with all these women, and you know, I'm friends with a lot of them still, you know.
Wait, so you started on a whim. You were like, I'm going to take a belly dancing class. Mm-hmm. You were good at it, mm-hmm. clearly. You started taking them a lot more. You got better. Then your class was like, we're going to go to Egypt?
No. Well, I became friends with a few professional dancers who I was taking courses with them, and then they were go every year. They were going to this big summer festival in Cairo. And so then I went 1 year, and then you basically live in Giza. Like, I could see the pyramids from my hotel room.
Oh, my.
You like live there for like a month, and then you just like take all of these classes, these intensive with all of these Egyptian teachers who, you know, it's not just belly dance. It's like all this like folkloric dance and like all of the stuff. And I mean, this was like really very different, I think, after 9/11, mm-hmm. everything kind of really changed, and the attitudes towards the Middle East, and also attitudes towards going there and having an ease there. And, you know, so I don't know nowadays if there's as thriving of a community of it, but it is Americans doing it, but it's certainly something that was like 90s, early 2000s, was a very, very big thing.
And so you were there for a month,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just dancing doing these classes. That sounds so fun.
It was great because we had like live musicians, like, you know, which is such a luxury. Yeah. And you know, these people that I had like learned from their like videos and like DVDs and learn from them, like these legendary dancers who were just incredible. And so that was really, really good. But then like I started to buy all this fabric, and then I was traveling and buying all this fabric and buying like notions in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing them here and like creating things. And it was just too single-minded of like making stuff. And then I do think like, yeah, there is a part of me that is like a tweaker mind where I could see just like taking apart a vacuum cleaner mm-hmm. just to put it back together. You know, there's like about like the mechanics of like getting into something and not never being able to finish it.
Right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I have so many questions. This is so fascinating. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So when you were in Egypt, had you been already making costumes?
No.
What did you wear to like a regular class? Let's say not in Egypt. Let's say like around here.
Just like either a like a workout outfit, but then you would wear like a hip scarf, mm-hmm. and then maybe you would wear like a crop top or mm-hmm. something. Sometimes I had these like unitards that had like a mesh belly, so you could sort of practice doing the folding the dollar bills and like the coins with your stomach, you know.
Did you go to Dance Supply? What's it called? That website?
Yeah. They're all of those. All of those, like, or dance skin. Yeah, I love dancewear. I mean, I love dancewear. Just in, I love a kind of like a chorus line outfit or like a
too.
Yeah, I love a chorus line or like all that jazz outfit.
That's why I started dancing.
Yeah, I love it.
So also, not to make you feel jealous, but I have a red leotard that says a chorus line on the sleeve.
Amazing! It's so cool.
It's the best. One of the best finds of my life.
I love it. I love it.
I love leg warmers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love it.
The short, the garbage bag shorts.
Oh, I have those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have them in pants. Yeah. Like sometimes I wear them on a regular day, but like I haven't in a while. Before I got pregnant, I stopped dancing when I got pregnant, but it was ballet for me.
Ooh.
I did some jazz.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Studio A?
Yeah.
I love Studio A. Ballet boot camp they would have like every day. I've been to that. That's a great one.
Yeah. And I started doing privates with one of the teachers at Studio A, Sarah, who I'm still friends with.
That's
and
great.
I was doing point. Like I was an adult beginner.
Oh, and you were on point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that became a little bit of an obsession for me because here's the thing. Like I'm never going to be a professional ballerina. Like it's not in the cards. Like my body just isn't it. They're dancers at New York City Ballet, America ABT, like they're like Olympian level athletes.
Oh yeah,
but artists. And it's so beautiful and so amazing, and that wasn't the goal, but like it's very hard, even just the simplest stuff. It's hard.
Well, I can't even imagine being on point because it's such a stretch for the body to do that for anybody, in any way. You know, it's like just that the feat of that is, it's magic, you know?
I worked so hard.
It's great.
Because I just really wanted to be on point. And
I did it,
but like I was very, very hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, I was taking like 3 classes a week, like, which they aren't cheap either. Like,
they're not
the most expensive, but like,
it's a lot.
I was driving all over the city doing classes and buying dance outfits and like also looking online for like vintage dancewear.
Ooh, how
which
fun.
Is so fun.
How
That's, fun. I think, where I found the chorus line thing. But like, I get really into anything where I have to like buy the notions.
The
accoutrement.
Yeah, me too.
And
I love
so
that.
And the dancewear like was really a necessity because you know, we're working out. Mm-hmm. Like we're working really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a meditation. And it's like, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was not meditating. I was really, you know, in my head, like maybe I wasn't thinking about what I was gonna do or what I was gonna work on, but I was constantly thinking about like every muscle in my body. Like my brain wasn't like my mind wasn't drifting on a cloud of like true meditation or whatever.
Yeah.
Like there was no mantra. I was like actively thinking specifically like of my thighs. Like, so when you go on point, it's all in your thighs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't have good arches. I don't even have a good turnout, but like I had to build up so much muscle in my thighs.
Right.
And like, I can't even imagine like with belly dancing, like, oh my God, it just seems so, it's just a lot of work. And you're constantly thinking about these different muscles, like even just doing it right now. I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Well, it's also this thing of like with belly dancing, it's about isolating. So it's about like moving one part of your body at the time. Like, so it's got it's like kind of focus and balance.
Right.
But it's harder than it seems to be. It's harder than people think it is. Like it's a fun thing.
Very, very hard.
It's really hard.
I mean, it looks hard. Like,
yeah.
And burlesque, like, did you start doing that after belly dancing?
Yeah, yeah. Because I had some teachers who were also doing that. Mm-hmm. And that was so fun because the costuming got really, then it gets real crazy.
Okay, so were you making burlesque?
Yeah, I was making burlesque costumes and that was so fun.
That seems odd. Do you have any of this?
No, I got rid of everything.
You did?
I got rid of everything.
You were just like, it's got to go. Yeah. Everything. All of your work.
Yeah.
You made amazing costumes. Art pieces.
Yeah. I made costumes and I actually put a show on in New York.
And
so in 2008, that was sort of the overreaching thing is I did put a big production with like costumes and everything up in New York, and then
and that was all you.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a bunch of other people.
But
too.
You like directed it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was like your.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I look at it online?
I don't think. No.
It's not online.
No, because it was sort of like before anything.
Oh my! Really?
Before like YouTube or before. I mean, kind of because it was like 2008, so it was sort of the very beginning of viral videos and that kind of stuff. So it was kind of the end of. The end of my dancing
people
was kind
couldn't
of
shoot stuff with their phone.
Not really. No.
God, I bet that was so. Done. And yeah. So you guys never like filmed it for real. I bet it was so cool.
Not really. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. It was really fun. But we never filmed it for real. We never. And it was sort of like the whole thing kind of fell apart and in a way that was sort of unseemly. So it was not the best, mm-hmm. you know, but it was fun while it lasted.
Wait, what do you mean it fell apart on scene?
Well, there was like
drama
with some of the other people. One of the other acts sued me and I had to pay them all this money and it was like this ugly thing. Like the whole thing was like
what sued you for what?
It was for publishing because we had put a song together through it and there was like all of this like weird jealousy and anger and so it was weird because I was also not used to doing a show with other people. I was so used to being a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
That it just fell apart in a way that was just not good. But, you know.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah. Sad.
Because it sounds like just a really fun thing and you were just doing it like harmless.
Yeah. There were so many great things about it. So unfortunately, it just fell apart. But. You know, while it lasted, it was really good.
Was it like all that jazz inspired, like costume wise?
Kind of. There was a lot of feathers. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of like ostrich feathers, and you know, with like burlesque costuming, it's very, I guess, 1930s. So there's like a, you know, it's grand,
it's gorgeous,
it's really beautiful. I mean, it is kind of like. It never turned into what you think it would. I guess the big person that does it now is Dita Von Teese, and her, you know, costuming and everything is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared quite a few cast members with her show and my show, you know, but she's obviously on a different level of it. But, you know, the costuming kind of was like that kind
That's
of like
so
spectacular.
Rad.
Yeah.
God, I just want to wear a costume. I always look for like, vintage dance costumes with sequins and tutus and marabou and I
so
love
beautiful.
It but I don't have anywhere to wear it to like I do you know Angela Trimber? She's a comedian and an actress and super funny and great, but she does a dance team. She's a dance team and like maybe once a month they do like meditative like for cancer research or something dance-a-thons like some people get naked, like it's this like whole amazing thing, and then they have themes. And she was on this podcast, but we didn't talk about this. She talked about her birds. She's an interesting person; you would like her. But like their theme was like blue ice and sequins, and everybody was wearing like these recital costumes.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I know. I couldn't go, but I. Wanted to.
This sounds fun. I mean, yeah, like
there's gonna be more
having like a dance like thing recital is so fun. I like a tap dancing costume.
Yes. Oh my, totally. My kid is in tap and ballet every Sunday, and I'm like such a dance mom.
It's so fun.
I love it. Did you do it when you were young?
I did it when I was young, and then I tap danced a bit as an adult, and it was so fun. And also flamenco, which is great.
That sounds.
So hard.
It seems really hard.
Flamenco's harder than anything. And like, I had a really scary teacher who I loved, but she was really scary and mean.
Yeah.
But that was like so exciting.
Oh, I want it now. I like every time you bring up a different kind of dance, I want to take my phone out and Google and watch it. But we're on a podcast, and so that's fun. Kind of like not fair. But
no, but it's so fun.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. I love dance. Mm-hmm. Do you, but you don't dance anymore?
I don't dance anymore. You know, every time I go by my old belly dance studio and I think, oh, I should go, you know, I should go and take a class, you know, and all the teachers that I know are still there and it's still great, you know, but I just never go. And I used to go to like ballet at at Equinox, which is actually always pretty good too. And then, you know, what's really fun is the Sweat Spot.
I know.
That's beautiful.
The Sweat Spot is awesome. My thing about the Sweat Spot, and for people who are listening who don't live in LA, sorry, but people who live in LA and do go to the Sweat Spot, like, it's very intimidating to me.
Yeah.
Ryan Heffington, who's like
so good.
He's so amazing.
See, he did my show. He
so he's like the choreographer.
Yeah,
he's
the
most
choreographer,
famous choreographer
for my show.
He's like
in
Sia's.
Yeah.
He is Margaret's. I mean, and yeah. So he does Sweaty Sundays.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
He is amazing, but like he definitely is like a dance guru and has his followers. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really crowded class.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, so I do like the Sweat Spot. I've taken ballet there a bunch of times. But again, like, going into a new class is always intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially there because all of the dancers are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're so good. I mean, I guess it would be kind of like going to those classes at, like, Millennium, or they have, like, Queens and Leto's Aaliyah Janelle's class.
Yep.
Like, I love, like, to watch on YouTube all of the great, like, hip-hop dancers.
I watch it all the time.
I
Did
love
you watch
it.
The woman? I forget her name.
There's Nicole
like
Kirkland,
a river.
Who's beautiful.
She's, I'm she's like, a JoJo. I'm gonna, like, just, I'm, now I'm dancing. Now I'm just, she's like.
Is it JoJo Gomez or?
She does that song, Like a River. Like a river, I gotta show it to you. Why can't podcasts be
multimedia? Like we're all like.
I watch millennial dance.
I all the
all
time.
All those videos all the time.
They're so good.
There's so many. There's like that one, like I, in my head he's like a little Asian boy, but he's not a boy. He's an
Was
adult.
It Sean Luke?
Yes,
he's great.
So
he's beautiful.
Good.
He's so beautiful.
And then there's this woman who I don't know if she's like African American or Latina or like both, but like she's long brown hair. She's fucking amazing. I watch her videos a lot. I'm like blanking on her name and his. And then there's like really hot guys, and I don't. Mm-hmm.
There's so many great people.
And then there's people, and then there's these guys, and they're dancing in heels, and they're going full out.
Oh, those French, like the French guys, they're so good. I mean, yeah, there's so many different, I love to watch them because they're just so beautiful.
They're so beautiful. I'm like getting so worked up just talking about it because I don't know, me and my best friend Allie, who she lives in New York, like she is the only other person I know who watches them. I've sent people these videos like, oh my God, you have to watch this dance routine and like not everybody cares as much.
I love it. I love when they incorporate like old school stripper moves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like very like, let's take all of these elements of dance that, you know, that people sort of like look as like highbrow or lowbrow and like blend them all.
Yeah.
I love that.
Me too.
I love it. I think it's really creative and it's really beautiful.
And I love how like, you know, I'm assuming that like they learn a routine that day and then do it. And then they're so good at dance. They just pick it up really, really fast. But like sometimes if they forget, they gracefully fudge it
and
like
do
their own thing.
Yeah.
And it really works. And it's.
Yeah. And I also like if they like there's parts of it that aren't choreographed that they just like maybe before the sort of choreography starts or after it's done.
Right.
Where they put their own spin on whatever.
I love it.
And I love it. And like voguing is great too. Voguing is really, really amazing.
I wish we could take a voguing class. I'm like, now I'm so codependent. I'm like, like now this is like me
we gotta
and Margaret's like new thing.
Well, voguing like, is great. I want to do a death drop like, you know, that looks so great. And
I was
get
just
scared.
Thinking about it this morning.
It looks so scary.
I know, but I think if we learned how to do it, we could. I know
we could.
We could
do it. Well, it's basically what a death drop is. It's kind of... like doing it, if you did it slowly, I think you could do it without hitting your head. Hopefully I wouldn't hit my head, but
I think you would.
I think it would be possible.
You practice it and there's a way, because were you ever a judge on Drag Race?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen like a few seasons, but I love it. I'm just mm-hmm. really bad at watching TV, but I would say you'd be a really good judge.
Yeah.
When I see people do the desk drop, like I see their leg and I'm like, okay, they're doing something where they know how to place their body. Like,
yeah,
we would learn how to do it correctly so we wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah,
I know we can.
You're just folding down, like right. you're folding down. There's a few different belly dance things that are like that. It's called a death drop in uh-huh. and belly dance. This is like a
really.
There's different things that I know that I've learned over the years in other forms of dance to do it, but. Yeah, it's so cool looking.
It's
I
so
love
cool.
Voguing.
Millennium is, I would never dare take a class there. I mean, I'm just not that good.
I don't think I could keep up. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking a class there, but I just think that I couldn't keep up because it's everybody so fast.
They're so fast. They're learning it so fast. Yeah. And they're so, I mean, these are people who were performing at Super Bowl. Like they're
it's so great.
Everybody's backup dancers. They're the best dancers. Like in the,
it's so amazing.
And I'm a sucker for like a little kid who can do it too. Like on Ellen.
Oh, so cute.
They're so good.
I love it. It's so cute.
I want my kid to be that so bad.
It's so great. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it has to be like a genetics. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's like also like, you know what I love about, you know, like the Sia video that is like when that little girl's dancing is the freedom of movement in the body. Like, that's what I love about it. It's yeah. not even like the grace or right. even like the ability. It's just that she's just so free. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about Ryan's choreography is that it's just so free looking.
Yeah. And it's really, it takes like a lot of like, loosening up for mm-hmm. me to get there because I'm tight.
Well, like, that's ballet is tight.
Right.
Ballet is very regimented and tight, and it's all about holding the core and holding the shapes in your body. So mm-hmm. it's just a little bit like of a different discipline mentally.
Yeah, I know. But then when I watch professional ballet dancers, like I love New York City Ballet. Mm. They're all aligned, and it's like when a ribbon is straight. Like the Olympic ribbons, like,
yeah,
they're like that. And so like they're totally aligned, but then their arms are like waving so gracefully, like it's water, like yeah. mercury. And
it's
I'm
so
like,
beautiful.
That takes so much discipline.
Yeah.
With
so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
I also love a fosse.
Oh,
that to me is probably my favorite because it's tiny
delicious.
Movements.
Yeah. And it's so sharp and it's so fun.
It's so comical, but also really sensual, yeah. but also 70s. And it's like,
totally.
It's really like the ultimate of like chorus line, like kind of like just
delicious.
Like a unitard with a bow tie,
yes.
like with a top hat. It's so silly, but it's so graceful.
It's all of that. And it is. So I was listening to the first song and we'll wrap up now. And I'm going to ask him the last question, but you know that first song in a chorus line where he's like, 5, 6, 7, 8, and da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
So yeah. I listen to it in my car and I'm like imagining, like fantasizing, like, oh, I'm going to listen to the lyrics to this song when I get home, learn the moves,
mm-hmm.
make up my own. I have this whole like dance video plan that
yeah.
did not happen. But don't you think it would be so fun to do a class where we learn that routine?
Yes.
And there is a dance class where they do Broadway musical numbers.
How like fun.
It's in Hollywood. I did it once. I didn't love the musical, so it was like hard for me to get into it. But like if I could pick it or like rent out or hire the teacher to like teach like me and a group of friends
mm-hmm.
like a dance routine just for fun and
mm-hmm.
we get to wear those outfits.
So fun.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we should do it. That'd
like,
be so fun.
For real.
Yeah, I know. Let's do it.
Anyway,
I've rented the dance studio on Montrose up the street from me and it's $15 an hour. It's great. I was so into dance that I would rent out a dance studio so I could practice myself in the afternoon.
I love that. So did you ever think about getting, so I put a bar into what is now my kid's bedroom.
Oh, genius.
I had to take it out.
But that's great.
Did you ever think about doing that here?
Totally.
I
wanted to put like a mirror on the wall
yeah.
and bar. Of course. I would have put like a trapeze.
Yes. Oh my God.
Like, so I could do my circus arts.
I can see you doing that next.
Yeah.
So do you think you can get into that?
Probably. I could definitely do the circus arts. Although I have done trapeze and it's so scary.
Yeah.
Like that is like, because you can't make a mistake. You'll just die.
Right.
I mean, it's the place I practiced at had no nets.
What?
So it was like, you just die. But that's sort of part of like why you'll hang on.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, it's a, yeah, definitely. I'm sort of dating a clown. His body is like just perfect. But, you know,
they, like a Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, like a perfect body, like that kind of like, that's what they do. And they're just in perfect shape. And it's, I mean, I think you need the risk of falling to really work your body into that point.
So, and I think I asked this already like 5 times, but maybe I haven't, but like you just, for me, I got pregnant and it was like an excuse for me to kind of like stop dancing. Cause I'm either like go hard or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I just never got back into it because mm-hmm. it's a lot of hard work. Is that why you stopped doing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, it's like, I got like so obsessive. And then it's too crazy. And then I have to just walk away.
Yeah.
But I could start again. I mean, the thing is that the desire for it is always there. And I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's so fun and life affirming, especially like dance, because it's like you're just celebrating being alive and being in a body.
And you really, like for me, like I really forget about everything for like an hour.
It's great.
It's so nice.
It's what we need.
Yeah, like I think that there's a way where we can just do some sort of like jazz fusion. Hire Ryan Heffington.
He's so good.
Get the dance studio for $15 an hour. Come with your dance belt and a tube of chapstick.
It's perfect. I love it.
Some garbage bag pants and some leg warmers. I love
a tiger's milk bar.
Yeah, just grab a tiger's milk bar and like a water and like the leg warmers with suspenders.
I love it. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I love the plastic pants.
Me too. Yeah.
There was a girl that would put on like the plastic pants and she would like put Vicks VapoRub. She would rub Vicks VapoRub on her legs and then put the plastic pants over. I think just to sweat it out.
That
so
sounds
crazy.
Insane.
So crazy to me. I'm like, oh my God.
That sounds
so
like,
weird.
That sounds painful.
Yeah.
I have a Pinterest board that's all dancewear.
How fun. I love dancewear.
It's just the best. Okay, so I can talk about this for days, but we won't. And I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody.
Okay.
But I just really identify with both of your hobbies and like also identify with not doing them anymore, which I totally get. I wish that I can see some of the costumes that you made.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel really hopeful about being able to do them again, if you choose.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it'll be something else.
Yeah.
But like with healthy boundaries, I think that would be good.
Yeah. I would like that.
You're very talented.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously. But like, well, if you're going to Egypt and living for a month and like doing belly dancing mm-hmm. and like making costumes for your friends who are professional, like,
yeah. Yeah,
you got the goods.
It was really, it was so rewarding, but at the same time, super crazy. Couldn't do it. Couldn't maintain it. It was fun.
Do you have a perfectionist thing?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that, but it's also part of it is just like, it's real tweaker. It's like, there's a part of me that's like real tweaker.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just like, I have to keep that at bay sometimes.
Yeah, to the point where like, I'm not sure what I even really like about this right now, but I can't stop. I mean, the thing is with my paintings is that they're not, I'm like, what am I making these for? I give them away. It's not like I have art shows. They're not really that good, but like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So I like the process.
It's for you. Yes. It's, and that's the important part.
So for you with sewing, was it about the process or was it about the outcome?
Everything.
It was everything.
Everything. Yeah. And the outcome, like, it was when it was done, it was kind of always disappointing because it was like done.
Right.
Even if it was perfect, it was still done. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to start again. And then you just go again and do something else. And it's just, it's too much, but it was fun when it lasted.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you would ever be into like sewing like a costume, but like that you can frame.
Maybe.
That I could frame.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, that could be something. Or, you know, I always think about like, oh, if I ever, you know, got to have some sort of big award, maybe I would make my dress. And that would kind of be like, I love like when Lana Del Rey wore something from the mall to the Grammys. And I thought, well, if I ever go to the Grammys, maybe I'll make a dress. And that would be really fun.
That's badass.
Yeah. So that would be good. A good thing.
I just want to learn how to like hem my own jeans or like my own jeans. I have to take a sewing class or something though. It's a whole, the reason why I haven't opened up the box because like I know that it's a tweaker obsession like waiting to happen.
It's a lot.
And I can't afford it right now.
No, like, it's too much.
Yeah. So one question I ask everybody is there like kind of like a fantasy hobby that you wish you could have, maybe will have one day, or like you wish you were that kind of person, but you're not? Like, some people say like floral arranging or like,
ooh, that'd be nice, or gardening.
Right,
gardening.
Like I think
horseback riding. Having horses.
I was going to use that as an example.
Yeah, I would love to have horses.
I used it the other day, and then my friend was like, "That's my hobby. That's what my hobby
that would
be
used great.
To be." So horseback riding is
horses
coming up a lot.
Yeah, to have horses and to you know, ride them and exercise them and like feed them and love them and
you
have
can
them
have
on
that.
My house. Yeah,
you're going to have that
someday.
But like not that far away.
Not that far.
Have you been horseback riding?
Yeah, I love it.
So you know it. You're like an equestrian.
Well, I've
like what's an equestrian?
I have the outfit.
And obviously.
Wait, I have
you have
the
job
outfit.
Purse?
I have job purse and
thank
I have
God.
A actual equestrian like horseback riding boots and all of that. But I
God, they're gorgeous.
I haven't
right?
ridden for a while, but they're beautiful.
Do you have a whip like an equestrian?
I do. I have a Hermes riding crop.
Oh, for the love of God, is there anything sexier?
It's so sexy.
Do you have like a gorgeous velvet blazer and like a hat?
I don't have a blazer and
like
I don't
a
have
white...
a helmet.
Oh, you need a helmet.
I need a helmet. I do have the bottoms, but not the tops.
So where are the boots from?
The boots are from the LA stables. So the boots are from the stables down in Burbank, which is a nice stables.
So you ride the fancy style, not the cowgirl style.
No. I've only ridden like, just trail riding. So I guess that would be the cowgirl style.
Uh-huh.
But I have the fancy pants and boots.
If you ride cowgirl style, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Denim shirt.
Yeah, you have to wear the denim shirt then.
That's where it comes. That's where this everything comes full circle. Now.
I know. I would tie it though if I have instead of button it. Then
I mean,
I would
look, if you want it embroidered,
workout.
I'm your girl.
Okay, perfect.
I can write "Cho" on the back.
I love it. Thank you.
A great cowgirl.
Yeah,
hat.
Perfect.
Oh my God, there's so many good outfits. Gingham.
Oh my God.
Is that too far?
No, I love it.
Okay, good.
Super cute.
Okay, well, you're so interesting and awesome. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.